I'm Danny Brown, and you're listening to Life Through a Dram.
Welcome to Life Through a Dram, where Danny Brown shares his take on life, being a better person, and appreciating the here and now, all accompanied by a dram and a fine single malt whiskey. And now, here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Life Through a Dram. This week I've got a friend I've known, well, I guess about a year or so now, who actually met through work. So we can maybe talk about that or whatever. Josh Curran, who's over in Brighton, Massachusetts. Hey, welcome to the show, Josh. How are you doing?
What's going on, Danny?
All good, sir. All good. How's the weather over there? I know you've been doing a lot of snow stuff.
It's cold and dreary, that's for sure. It's definitely cold and dreary. It's been a slow, depressing winter, but it's almost over.
That is true. As is the, I guess, tradition, have you brought yourself a dram or a drink to enjoy with the show this evening?
Actually, I'm drinking some green tea because I'm on a cleanse. No alcohol, no coffee, no deep sugar. This is my little cheat with this right now. So paying a little bit more attention to health right now. So I'm going to be the one exception on the show, I guess.
Well, good for you. I hear you. I did the same last year, and I was off. I think I was off alcohol for about 8 weeks, 10 weeks or something, and I slowly went into just a little bit at the weekend now. But anywho, so, well, I'll cheers you. I've got like a 2007 Brewladdy. So I will cheers your green tea with my Brewladdy. Cheers.
Cheers.
So, Josh, we've, as I mentioned at the start, we kind of got to know each other through work. It's like you're part of a program that one of our clients works at. We're doing for one of our clients. So do you want to tell us about your background, what you do, you know, for a living, how we kind of met, I guess?
Yeah, sure. So I own a landscape construction and lawn care company in Massachusetts, and I was actually one of a few selected guys to be part of a user advisory group for Echo Power Tools. Danny heads that campaign. I was a little shocked that I was asked to join just because we figured a lot of the guys that were on that campaign were YouTubers and influencers, and that's not something that I was big on at all. I wasn't big on social media. I'm still not big on YouTube. There's reasons behind that, which I can get into later on this podcast. But yeah, so Danny and I met through the Echo Means Business Group, user advisory group, and kind of hit it off from there. I've been following Danny's podcast. I love what I hear, Danny, and I give you the utmost respect and props for coming out and pitching what you pitch on mental health.
Cheers. I appreciate that, man.
That's huge, especially in the day and age that we're in right now, and a lot of guys can't come forth and say what's going on. And it definitely brings awareness, and it's eye-opening and refreshing to see someone come out and speak on it.
Well, it's definitely, like you say, it's definitely a topic that doesn't get a lot of conversation, whereas it should, and we'll certainly talk about that. But first, I want to wish you a happy birthday. I believe you just had a birthday, right?
I did. I turned 34.
34. Wow. I remember these days a lot. That's almost 20 years ago for me. That's crazy. Yeah.
You know what? It's nuts because when I was younger, 22, I had a friend that was a few years older than me that said, after 25, it flies by. And it really was. I mean, I things happened quick with me. I had children young. I kind of had to grow up really quick. And, I mean, it flew by, man. My 20s were gone. 30s are here. I'm 34. And I'm like, wow, 40s are around the corner. So it's crazy. It's crazy for
it
me.
It does. It does catch up, and I know you've got like—is it two girls you have?
Yeah. I have two girls. I have a 13-year-old, just turned 13, and a 8-year-old.
Oh wow! So that's like a nice little split. That little 5-year-old. How is it having a teenage girl? Has that been a big change for you?
You know, it is what it is. You kind of roll with the punches. It's you know, the attitude's definitely there, and it's changing. But it's an experiment. You know, my wife's great with dealing with a lot of that. I kind of have to roll with the punches and figure it out as I go. You know, I was only a teenage boy, so I know what teenage boys like. So I know how to warn her in that aspect of what she's going to be going through later on in life.
Yeah. No, well, we've got an 8-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl. Oh, no, she just turned 7. Good grief. So, yeah, I've got a little bit left before the teen years, although I will say my son's kind of gone through a pre-teen spurt, I think. He's just all over the place. I don't know. But you'd mentioned earlier, and I wanted to bring this up because I know we'd spoken about this before the show, you'd mentioned about the importance of talking about mental health and, you know, raising awareness and not being, I don't know, whether ashamed or afraid or whatever the adjective would be for that. And you mentioned that you've had your own mental health issues.
I mean, even directly, I come from a family that has mental health issues. A lot of guys concur with me, you grow up in this area, Irish, Italian families in Boston. A lot of that stuff's brushed under the rug. And this goes back to even the generation above me, where it's brushed under the rug. You don't put your dirty stuff out to air to everybody. You brush it under the rug and you kind of tough through it. And even growing up, that's how you were taught. You tough through these things. You don't show your feelings and emotions. You're a wuss, you're a pussy if you put it out there. But it's nice to see times are changing with that, where you can actually get out and admit what's going on. Look at the day and age we're in now. I mean, I remember Columbine when I was in middle school. That was the biggest thing that happened inside of schools. Now that's an everyday event. People don't pay nearly as much attention to school shootings and things that go on in this country because it's an everyday thing. But the bottom line of that is that comes down to a mental health issue. But for me, to get back on track and get sidetracked there, personally, I deal with a lot. I was just diagnosed with ADHD and some anxiety. Those go hand in hand, but that's really been a big dip in my life, especially over the past 12 years since I've been a father. I mean, I went from being on my own to having kids at 18. I had my oldest daughter when I was 19. And, we had to jump right into things and figure things out. Never really have any time to figure myself out who I was, having these issues, not being able to talk to anybody about these issues, and kind of growing with them. At the same time, my wife, who's been battling with depression and anxiety and chronic pain, dealing with these issues. So throughout the years, we've just kind of been in survival mode. That's how we were taught growing up, was you just survive. You do what you have to do to survive. You don't talk about your issues. You get by. Most people end up popping. Just in the past year, we've both been aggressively addressing these issues and figuring things out, who we are, how to address them, how to teach our kids how to address them. That's our biggest thing right now, is teaching our daughters. Like, listen, you speak your mind. If something's bothering you, speak up. Even if someone tells you, hey, that's stupid, you don't need to feel that way. That's not what we teach our children. We teach our children, hey, air it out. Let us know. Someone's bugging you, let them know what's going on. Put everything out to dry. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of how you feel. And that's kind of how we run with that. I mean, it's definitely been a roller coaster of a ride the past few years. In the past year, it's been refreshing to get things up. So.
Yeah. And what do you feel? I mean, you mentioned that it's obviously important to talk to your children, because kids, it has been shown that kids deal with their own mental health issues at a lot younger age these days, whether that's through, easy access to social media or peer pressure because of XYZ or whatever, compared to what we had as kids. But what do you think's made people more receptive or more open to talk about their own issues or support, be more aware of what other people are going through? Is there something that you think has been like a tipping point, or...
I just think, people shit on millennials, and I think a lot of it is millennials don't give a shit anymore. We're putting stuff out there. I mean, it's somewhat brushing under the rug. It's like, listen, this is what it is. These are the facts. You can't hide from these facts anymore, everything that's going on. I mean, you have the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, the whole Donald Trump presidency. Everything's really out there. I think people are at a boiling point where, there's so much going on in society today that you need to address it. What are things going to do? Just progressively get worse over time. Nothing's going to change unless you address it. So I think our generation really, is gunning for a change. You still get that mixed group of people, millennials this, millennials that, that want to just brush it on the rug. How hard is it to just take a moment and listen?
Right.
Take a moment and listen to a person and really understand what's going on. Not everybody's built the same. And I'll be the first one to admit, I had ignorance to that. I was the one that said, I was grown to brush things under the rug. You don't show your feelings, you pound your chest, and you tough it out. That's just what it was. And then slowly you start opening your eyes. I mean, maybe for me, my tipping point was was having girls or seeing my wife in agony every day and not understanding, hey, why can't she brush it under the rug? Why can't she figure out she's showing emotion? And not to, like, you know, finally to realize, like, hey, listen, I might be part of this because I'm brushing all my emotions under the rug. I'm not getting out all my issues. My issues aren't being voiced. I'm not taking care of, you know, all the trauma that I dealt with when I was younger. And that's boiling over to now. I'm carrying that over with me. And I'm punishing people that don't deserve it. And I think a lot of people my age go through that. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize. I don't know if it's because everything's out there. I truly believe it's because things are out there, rather. And people are putting it out. I mean, you got all these school shootings. You got, the Me Too movement. You know, I just see left and right on Facebook that, you know, guys trash all over this Me Too movement. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the difference in today why people are actually putting stuff out there is because it's people are voicing it. You have influencers that are voicing it. You have so much going on in society that it's hard to ignore the facts. You know, that's, you know, I started listening to your podcast over last summer and I was impressed with what I heard. I love the fact of what you're talking about, you know, and that seems more of a common occurrence now that people, especially men, are able to air out their laundry and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is what you should be doing. You should address these issues because not only do they affect you, they affect people around you. That took me a long time to understand. I mean, I just went through this, I don't want to say life-changing event over the summer, but I had a lot to wake me up to realize, like, hey, you know, I'm not living up to my potential. I need to address things. I have a wife that suffers from depression and anxiety. You know, I may be causing her more stress. I have my 8-year-old daughter who was diagnosed with a autoimmune disease that hospitalized her, and she went through a lot of traumas, and through that, she developed anxiety, and we deal with that every day. And I know because of my issues and traumas that weren't addressed growing up and even going into adulthood, trying to figure out who I was as a young parent, as a young adult, those fed over to my wife and my kid. And now I realize that at 34 years old, it's a little late, but hey, better late than never, that I need to address these things.
Well, that's it. And you mentioned your daughter. I know, you know, when I got diagnosed with depression and I got put on meds, you know, to bring the anxiety down first. It was caused as a subset of depression. I know that the meds were making me like tired and less focused. And because of that, if my kids were doing something, even the tiniest thing, I would snap. And I just realized, crap, this isn't good. So I had to speak to my specialist to get the meds changed. And that. It's like you say, we know we are dealing with it, but it has impacts on others around us for sure. Mm. Now, you'd mentioned that a lot or a good portion of what you're going through now was because of what you went through, you know, in your younger life. And one of the things you'd mentioned to me was how you've grown, you know, both personally and professionally, you know, after being in a system at a younger age. So what happened there? What was the changing point there that made you take a step away from there or realize you had to make a change?
So, I mean, growing up, I ended up in the system, DSS, Social Services, DCF. I'm sure it's the same around your area. I went to the system. I was in juvenile detention centers and lockups throughout my teenage years. A lot of my friends I was hanging out with were kind of from the same background as me. Single-parent homes, low income, living in the city. And, you know, you kind of get with that crowd. It becomes a brotherhood. Regardless of what they do and what they come from. But with that comes all the issues that comes hanging out with those people. So I ended up in the system. I was in and out for a while. Eventually I got out. And I want to say I was 17 years old. I had gotten out of the system. And, I was kind of trying to figure myself out at that point, what I need to do. Still experiment alcohol and drugs throughout that age. And then I met my wife, and we hit it off. We started talking. We started dating. About a year or two later, we had my oldest daughter, and that was a life-changing event for me. Because at that point, it was almost like, it sounds cliche, but almost like you have something to live for at this point. You have something you have to commit to that you have to succeed for besides yourself. I wasn't looking at succeeding for myself. That didn't make sense in my head for a long time. My self-care and self-care and taking care of myself didn't exist. That wasn't something that I thought of at that age. But at the same time, because of all those traumas of being in DSFs, being thrown around the system, not having anybody to voice to, dealing with drug and alcohol problems as a teenager, you're buried under the rug. It's like a volcano about to erupt. You're just constantly going. And surely what had happened was that my life became work and home. There was no balance. I was just in between work and home trying to figure things out. No parental guidance to really say, hey, look, this is the way you need to do things. This is how you need to figure it out. This is how you should be a father. This is how you should be a husband. Now, I know some people look and say, well, those are things you should know. But not having that background as a youth and not having that guidance. So nothing around me, my friends, my direct family, that there were no role models in that picture. So you didn't know how to be at that time. You know what you saw, and you developed that, and you picked it up. And doing that was brushing things under the rug, showing no feeling, but at the same time, teaching my oldest daughter, you don't show feeling. You know, you tough that out. You take one on the chin, you walk away, your shoulders are cocked back, and you run with it. Up until, honestly, a year ago, that was my mentality. It took probably just, it was randomly one day, I was by myself, I'm going to say right before July 4th, sitting in my room, and I'm trying to figure out, why is my household so aggravated? Why am I so aggravated? Why can I not keep above water? What's going on? Business is good, but it's not great. You know, family's good, but it's not great. Everybody's down. What am I doing to cause this? Everybody seems miserable. I literally lay there in bed for probably about 8 or 10 hours trying to figure things out. And then slowly started puzzling in my head, like, maybe I am being a little bit too aggressive when it comes to my wife and kids. Maybe I need to understand a little bit more what my wife's going through. My wife deals with several issues that cause chronic pain and fatigue. And again, having that mentality where, hey, you suck it up and you brush things under the rug. That was my first go-to. That was my trigger. That was my savant. So I pass it on to her and expect her to do the same thing. All of a sudden I click and say, wow, maybe I'm causing a lot of stress in her life. Due to that, we start arguing back and forth. My kids see that. My kids pick up the stress. So it was kind of at that turning point where I realized, wow, you know, I need to figure something out. And at that point, I ended up checking with a therapist. I found a guy that's probably about 5 or 10 years older than me. I started seeing a therapist and really trying to work my brain out and just figuring out, you know, why I was doing what I was doing, why I was acting a certain way. And things are starting to really make sense now, as far as like being in survival mode because of those traumas. You put that guard up, that's how you know how to get by. It's funny because I had just put something up on my Instagram story that I loved because I thought it related to me exactly. Hang on. It goes, the habits you created to survive will no longer serve you when it's time to thrive. Get out of survival mode, new habits, new life. I love that.
That's excellent. That. Yeah.
Because that speaks to me. That speaks to me because that's what I was doing for all this time was just living in survival mode. I wasn't progressing, but that goes for business. That goes for life. I wasn't setting an example for my daughters. I sit here and I would preach like, hey, you know, you guys are girls. You have to go hard. You know, things are against you. You're going to have to work twice as hard as I had to. And not explaining to them why. And not fully understanding why, to be honest with you.
Right.
But now I look at it and I have such an open aspect to everything, right? You know, I understand people are not built the same. Even though that's what I came from, is that everybody sweeps everything under the rug and you tough it up and you take one on the chin. If not, you're a bitch. You need to walk away. You need to go somewhere else. No, that's not how it works. That's not how a friend should be. That's not how a father should be. That's not how a partner should be. You know, I want people to come to me. I want people to confide in me with their with their weaknesses, with their strengths, with their stories.
And I think that's one of the things that I like about, I mean, I try to stay off social media when I'm home in the evenings because that's pretty much part of my day job. I don't want to keep doing that when I come home, you know. But when I jump on Facebook, it's one of the things that I like about seeing some of your updates because I know you're very passionate about social rights and social justice and doing the right thing. And one of the things, I mean, you mentioned earlier about, you know, raising girls and telling them that unfortunately it's going to be tougher for them in the current environment, at least, you know, hopefully in years to come it will be different, but it's going to be tougher for them than it is for men. And you put a post up, I think it was maybe in January, when Kavanaugh was going through his confirmation hearings or whatever, that just laid into this guy. And I loved your passion behind that. And I know, like you'd mentioned, you know, being a white male in today's society, obviously we have privilege that a lot of people ignore or don't even believe it exists. So what's it like? What's your... And obviously your wife will be helping. What's your goals, and how are you raising daughters in this current age of white male privilege, the likes of, you know, Kavanaugh and people like that get away with basically sexual harassment?
Speak your mind. I mean, it's the Kavanaugh trial was a crock of shit, and everybody knows that. You know, I had conversations with guys that think the Me Too movement and all that is a crock of shit, and they even admitted that, you know, if that was their child, their wife, it'd be a different story. It shouldn't be a different story.
No.
But what we teach our daughters is even if you get to that point where people don't believe you, you don't stop speaking your mind. You don't stop speaking about what happened. You put the truth out there. Always voice yourself. Be loud and proud, what they say. You know, there shouldn't be any women or children that feel like if they're ever assaulted or abused, that they shouldn't be able to come forth. And, in the day and age that we're in, it's ridiculous that people don't feel comfortable moving forward. And that's another case of brushing shit under the rug. It happens way too often where, it happened. What'd she do to deserve it? That's bullshit. That's bullshit. If that was my daughter and anybody ever said, what did she do to deserve it? maybe underground. I mean, our daughters know that they, no matter what the situation, they can always come to us. Like, there's never anything that, there's nothing that we haven't experienced that they can't come to us. We may not have the answers right away, but if they're ever in danger or something happens, they know that they can come to myself or their mother, and it's open arms, and there's no judgment no matter what the situation.
Yeah.
And I think more people, especially dads, need to be open with their kids and tell them, listen, it doesn't matter if you're being bullied in school, if someone puts their hands on you, you need to be able to come to me and talk.
Right. And
no judgment, not being passive or anything. Like, I'm all ears if you need to vent.
And that's it.
I tell my oldest, I tell my oldest daughter, you know, 13 years old, I said, listen, at 13, I did more than what most 18-year-olds do. So whatever you're going to go through, the chances are I've been through those experiences. You know, I'm not saying that I'm going to be happy with every choice you make. But if there's ever, like, conflict in what you're trying to decide to do, come to me. I'll guide you through it. You know, I wish I had that growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I would go to confide in my parents. It would be, well, you don't need to bother doing that. But there was no explanation as to why. And back then, it didn't matter. It was because I said so. I said so. That's why. You want to understand why. Why not give a child the option, hey, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you don't do this, I can guarantee you this is going to happen or this isn't going to happen. You know, same thing with drugs. You know, everybody's so quiet and tight-lipped about drugs. There's an epidemic going on with opiates and heroin. But everybody's so quiet-lipped about it.
Yeah. I saw there was a report came out, I think it was last week, about how many vets were committing suicide on a daily basis in the US. And one of the causes, I'm not sure I've got this correct, so I don't want to give incorrect information, but one of the causes was a lot of the vets were shown aversion to the antidepressants that were being, you know, prescribed to them. So it was like this this last chance drug, if you like. I don't know, that's a nickname for it. And similarly, this caused so much of a reaction, it spiked the suicide rate, because nobody's talking about, as you mentioned, a mental health issues, you know, such as PTSD and the treatment of it, that, you know, are drugs always the answer? Possibly. But like I say, it's just, we need to be having more conversations about so many different things, and it's not happening.
You know what? And you're 100% right. And I'm going to use the example of PTSD. So when people talk PTSD, what do they usually think about? Firefighters, first responders, and military personnel. That's a whole other subject in itself. You know, if they can raise $5 million on one of those raising channels, I don't know what they call, you can't raise $5 million to give to a VA hospital. to give to a nonprofit to help these vets. But so PTSD, if we can recognize that in first responders and military, retired military veterans, why can't we realize that that's an actual thing in sexual assault victims and people that experience traumas in their life? And traumas don't have to be sexual assault or being beaten. They can be abandonment issues. They can be being around drug abuse, seeing someone being shot, seeing someone being sexual abused. So it does exist, but I feel like there's this cloud that hangs over people with PTSD where it only stays on one side of the court.
Right.
Where, you know, a certain group of people can have it, and a certain group of people, you're overreacting, where PTSD and trauma doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that needs to be open, and people need to realize that regular people suffer from PTSD, traumas. And that's usually what survival mode is for people. When I go back and what I just talked about survival mode, that was from traumas that I experienced as a youth. So I'm not trying to say I had deep PTSD, the same thing that someone that was in Iraq or Afghanistan, but it's an existing thing. It's a real thing with regular civilians and citizens. PTSD hangs over a lot of people's head and causes trauma. And that's where self-medication comes from.
No, exactly. And I think to your point, I like the definition of survival and living, like survival mode and living. Because in survival mode, as you mentioned, you are just trying to survive. You know, I know people with depression are just trying to get through that particular day, for example, and it's stopping you from living. Once you can address that and not get over it, because obviously it's something that you're always going to have. It's just how you deal with it or whatever.
Yeah.
But once you accept that and you get the treatment you need and you put processes in place, etc., at least now you can start to live your life again. And that ties back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, moving from survival mode and just getting over it, as opposed to understanding it, addressing it, being open and talking about it, you know, with, you know, your professional help and also these loved ones around you. I could talk all night about these topics. I really could. And I think, you know, the next time we get together, either at one of the trade events or whatever, we're going to have to sit down. If you're having a beer by then, if not, I shall buy you many green teas. But just like, you know, shoot the shit about stuff like this, because this is stuff that I'm really passionate about. And it's always great to hear someone, you know, with such a good viewpoint that can talk sensibly about stuff without, you know, going down one direction. So I really appreciate that, Josh. If people are looking to find you online, where's the best place for them to connect with you?
I think the best place would be my Instagram handle, which is jcurry, jaycurry. And you'll see, I mean, you'll see the difference from what I posted 2 years ago, when I barely used it, to what I'm posting now. You know, I'm posting stuff that pertains to my industry, but at the same time, physical health and mental health.
Right.
You know, not that I'm an expert in it, but, you know, I'm trying to preach as much as I can, motivate and trying to get words out there that, you know, people can talk about things. You know, I'm definitely a go-to for friends and family now. You know, I wasn't that guy before, but I am now.
Excellent. Well, I will drop the links in the show notes below. And I recommend, as I mentioned, that people follow your account, because I know, looking at the new account versus your professional one, there is a very distinct difference. So I highly recommend it. So I will cheers you again with a little tipple before we go. So Shalanja Varun Nats, Josh. Hoping and you're enjoying your green tea. I'm sorry, I'm not rubbing it in at all. I know exactly. And kudos.
Kudos
to you for going through this health spate. I know I did it last year, and so kudos to you, man.
Definitely. I appreciate it.
No worries. So this has been another episode of Life Through a Dram, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it. I think there's been a lot of good discussion and topic points tonight. And by all means, if you have any comments or any, you know, anything you wish to share about tonight's episode, you know, follow Josh on Instagram, reach out, comment on his posts, or drop it in the comments on your local, you know, podcast channel. We'll be back again next week. But in the meantime, Shalan Jivar.
This has been Life Through a Dram. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.